Today on Real Radio.
When is the body or the church bad? It is this. It's when the body is dead. You take its pulse and it's dead. It's in love with itself. It's not in love with God. It is dead because it's in love with self. It is a church that is, in a sense, closed its doors to anything outside its world. It is dead. How do we know? Because it is self-centered, self-focused, self-loved. It's a dead church.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Verses 49 and 50 of chapter 9 are a short paragraph in the text that tell us of one casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Well, some of Messiah's disciples didn't like this and told him to stop. Why? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
There's a passion for holy living in a church where Jesus is alive, and I want to make this very clear. When I say holy living, that is a requirement of God, but please don't think that holy living looks like we sucked on lemons, we sit in the corner dressed in black, and we just hum. That's not what holy living means. I think we'd be shocked if we really saw and realized holy living. Holy living means separated living to God and what God does. It doesn't mean we climb up in some tower and sing hymns all day. It means you get down from the tower, you get out into the streets, and you bless people. Holy living's radical. Does it mean I have to wear my hair in a bun? No. Can I still use some makeup? Yes. Please, sometimes. It has nothing to do with that. Is the soul of the church engaged? That is all important. Is it passionate about holy living? Philippians 3, verse 8. I'm going to give you a lot of verses. Philippians 3, 8 says, "Yet indeed also I count all things lost," Paul said, "for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from faith or through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith." Wow. What a beautiful thing. I am, you are righteous because of your faith in Christ. God, though you and I may not feel like it, God says, "I declare you righteous." What does that mean? I see you hidden by my son Jesus. Every time God looks at you and I, who are Christians, God, even though we feel so incredibly unworthy, God says, "I see the righteousness of my son upon you." Is that wild? Say, "I don't feel like it." I have to agree with you. I rarely feel like it. If I ever do feel like it. It's not what you feel, it's what you know. And the Lord says, if you're in Christ, you've been washed clean. It's called atonement, you know. It's called salvation. And some of us can't get past that. We want salvation, but we go around kicking ourselves all day long because we're such a bad Christian. Why do we think that? Because we fail at things all day long, do we not? Can I have an amen? We feel at things. But is this not his grace awesome and wonderful as we go? As you saw a moment ago, if we confess to him, he'll forgive us of our sins. None of us live a sinless, perfect life. And don't tell me after service that you do. I had a guy tell me that he did after service. "I'm perfect." I wanted to take him right out to the fountain and have him walk across the pool. Second thing under this is prayer. There's an effective prayer life. A church that is alive is And a Christian that's alive wants to live a life dedicated to God. It's in their blood. It's in their DNA. And secondly, they want to pray. Now look, let's be honest. I want to encourage you. Is prayer difficult? Yes. Do we not, though, as believers, wake up praying? Do we not fall asleep praying? We seem to fall asleep praying more than we wake up praying. But hey, I'd rather have you and I fall asleep praying than listening to, you know, something or whatever, huh? You're talking to God. Prayer. All day long, you're praying. You're in the attitude of prayer. God, help me with this project. Help me with... There was a man who was doing some work at our house a while back, and he was cutting some tile. And it was awesome, because you could hear he's got his thing set up, and he's going, okay, Lord. Isn't that great? What a sweet way to do that. Okay, Lord, what do you do? What do I do in life? Okay, Lord, get us there. Okay, Lord, give the message. Okay, Lord, close this deal. Okay, Lord, sell that car, or whatever it is. Constantly praying. Attitude of prayer. A church that is alive is dedicated to living for God's glory and holy living, and it is a praying church. How do we have a praying church? If we walk into a building and say, well, I don't think this church is very holy. I don't think this church prays enough. Is God calling you to that church by your witness and by your ministry life to make it a holy church and to make it a praying church? Do you know what we do in the 21st century? We go from church to church like a little bumblebee. Remember, bees only live a few days. We go from church to church and we sample a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We fly around. We say, I like this about that place, but not that part. And those people who do that never grow. They're never dependent upon in the body of Christ because they're never around consistently. It's a hit and miss situation with God. And listen, they never affect the body of Christ for any good, for any betterment. It's tragic. Find a church, pray, get into it, and then make that church better. Not bitter. I said better. Make it better. Make this church better. Find a place that needs help. We need help. Every church needs help. But pray. The early church, by the way, naturally, supernaturally prayed. In Acts 13, verse 1, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Menon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Listen, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord. Isn't that an amazing verse? And fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. That's the model of a healthy, beautiful church. And then witnessing. There's a heart in a healthy church to witness. They want to tell people. We can't be silent. When Jesus Christ is loved, when he's looked toward and desired, you can't be quiet about it. Now listen, please don't freak out about this. If God points his finger upon your heart to stir you up right now about this, we can't see that happening. Don't worry, no one's looking at you. But would you say that you are a Christian who's alive and these things apply, and the church that you attend, whatever that church may be, is a church alive because you're actively alive there, and you do all that you can to tell others about Jesus Christ, a witnessing church? Why? Well, frankly, because God is good, Jesus saves, hell's hot, and heaven's cool. Do we tell people? Luke chapter 10, verse 1 says, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city in the place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. I was fine with that verse until that part. Jesus says, okay, listen, I'm going to be right behind you. You guys go first, and boy, you've got all power. Go do it. All right, let's go, guys. And there's 70 of them. Let's go. Come on. All right. And Jesus goes, yes, and as you go, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Well, why don't you tie a stake around my neck and tell somebody to, you know, sick them or something? You're sending us out as lambs among wolves. Did you know that? In ministry, as Christians, we're sheep. But listen, when he sends us out, it's not that we're to be sheepish, cowardice. We're to be bold in the Lord because he's commanded us to go. And the world out there is difficult. And have you not caught on yet? They want to eat us alive. They won't eat us alive, but they want to eat us alive. Will that keep us from telling people? Is not there a group heading for France? Is there not a group heading for Russia? Is there not a group heading for Germany? You say, yeah, what's with all these people going internationally? Why don't we tell people here? Is there not groups every week going out from this church telling people door to door about the love of God? Why do they do that? Why would they travel 12 hours on an airplane and try to talk to the French who will not talk to us back? Huh? Why would it be so rudely treated? Why? What's the reason? What keeps them going? What drives them? Jesus. The love of God. It's amazing. It's awesome. What makes a church good? When the Spirit is active in that church's life. Jesus said, don't forbid him. The man is active. Three things again I give you under this point. Listen to the heart of the church. It's beating. There is a real rhythm beating. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. You guys, this week, why did the Lord put that on my heart this week in study? Listen to its heart, the heart of the church. Listen to see if it's beating, if it's alive. I wonder if it came into my mind because what happened last Monday was kind of funny. You had to have been there. You're not going to like this at all, but you have to have seen this. We have a couple of Yorkshire Terriers at home. You know how big those dogs are? They're little, tiny, tiny things. This one is super tiny. And I'm laying down on the, I just lay down on the carpet to stretch out my back. My back was a little tight. I lay down on the carpet, I'm stretching my back. And this little one jumps up, sits on my chest, then lays down, and then puts its head right where my heart is, the ear, right there. And I'm laying there, and you know, you can hear, you know, boom, 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 you know? And the dog, and then when it came time to move the dog, I'm trying to move the dog, and the dog wanted to keep the ear on my chest. It's just like, and I'm dragging the head across my chest to get it off. And when I looked at the dog's eyes were all sleepy like this. And I'm thinking, I wonder, you know how, maybe mommy puppies, the bonding, the heartbeat when they're little, I don't know. The little dog is listening to me, gets all sleepy and gets all gooey, you know. I'm not going, I want to stay here. Listen, there's comfort, there's compassion, there's rest, there's peace when a church has a heartbeat and it's alive. It's not a building, it's your life. It's my life. You and I, we are the church. What kind of church are we then? Do we go around quenching ministry? Or do we promote it? Very quickly, what makes a church to be active and a heart beating? Number one, it's strong in biblical doctrine. Strong in Bible. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said to Timothy, "Till I come, give all attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the eldership." 2 Peter 1, verse 19 says, "And so we have the prophetic word," that is the word of God, "confirmed, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The Bible gives us life. Matthew 5:18, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle," that is of the Hebrew language, "not one little apostrophe, not one hyphen, will pass away till all things of the word of God," that is, all things, "be fulfilled." That is an amazing thing. The doctrine. It is the Bible that gives us life. God said in the Psalms, "I've sent my word to them and healed them of all their destructions." Isn't that amazing? And healed them. Also, not only biblical doctrine, but hungry for genuine worship. Genuine worship. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23, that the Father is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, look, you guys are at first service. You're a mighty group of people. You got up early. You came here. And my goodness, some of these people that led us in worship this morning had to come up from San Diego area. What time did they get here? Why? Because you know what? We have to worship the Lord. We have to. I don't mean you have to. We get to. But because Jesus is working on our hearts, don't you have to? You got to worship him or you're going to go nuts. It's great. Genuine worship. Okay, now we've looked at these things in the positive here. We come to this final one, and then we need to hang on to our seats, and we'll go quickly. But here's the last thing under a church that is a church that blesses God, is that it's seeking spiritual power. It seeks spiritual power. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, he said, I give you now all the authority. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't give that to angels, you guys. He gave that to us. Isn't that radical? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus again said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine in which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, the power of God. Wow. So, that's the good. We're going to go through the bad and the ugly quickly because it's bad and it's ugly. But before we leave this first point here, do you not want to be a church that blesses the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, I tell you, can you imagine having lived your life, or I do not want to live my life and come to the end and having wasted what God has given us among those or ministries or whatever that just don't care about God in his word. Well, listen, the good, here's the bad. What makes a church bad? And this kind of comes down to what these apostles maybe were starting to have tempting their hearts. When is the body or the church bad? It is this. It's when the body is dead. You take its pulse and it's dead. It's in love with itself. It's not in love with God. It is dead because it's in love with self. It is a church that is, in a sense, closed its doors to anything outside its world. It is dead. How do we know? Because it is self-centered, self-focused, self-loved. It's a dead church. Secondly, it doesn't have any fellowship. It doesn't venture out. A church that is dead has created its little group. In fact, it's on the verge, if not already, of becoming a cult or a Christian-type cult. Look, it's all about us. We're not with anybody else. It's our thing. It's to their glory. It's to their name. It's to their promotion. And by the way, we don't fellowship with anybody. Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, I beseech you, that's the word begging, I beg of you, therefore, to walk worthy of the calling which you were called with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I need to say something about that. We need to keep, the Bible says, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Unity. Church, we're hearing a lot about unity all around the world. Unity! Watch out, because the world, you guys, the world doesn't have the same definition of words that God has. In fact, again, ushers, bar the doors, would you? We are finally now waking up to this tragic scene as a nation. In the name of tolerance, with a different definition under it, this nation has gone to sleep and is in grave danger because we took a word that is a beautiful word and perverted it and made it really a terrible thing. And so It's been abused. And then you think of the word unity. Oh, we must unite. Huh? Have you heard that? We must unite. What does that mean, unite? Listen, I'm going to give you a truth, and like some truth, we don't like it because it stings. Unity, especially in spirituality, especially in churchianity, unity is not the most important thing. It is not the priority. Truth is the priority. Amen. Truth is the number one thing. And if you, for example, and here's the beauty of what we're talking about, Jesus in our day could have easily said, hey, John, Jack, Peter, Mike, look to the truth, the essentials of my word, and do those who are ministering adhere to that? Yes. Then unite. But my friends, and I know you're going to get this tape, go do it. And you're going to go give it to the guy that you want to hear this. Go do it. I just said it nationally back in Washington, D.C., and the mail hasn't come in yet, but I'm sure it will. Here it is. Unity on the essentials. When I pray, when you pray, you are praying to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, says the Bible. Huh? That's what the Bible, Jesus said, that's how you pray. When you go to pray, and you're asked to pray, and there is a Buddhist, there's a Hindu, there's a Muslim, and you're asked to pray, and you have a prayer meeting with them, let's be honest, let's be true to their doctrine and to our doctrine. Listen, you have erected, in that interfaith prayer meeting, you have erected a bunch of altars to different gods. Did you know that? Oh, but Pastor, shame on you. You should unite with people. Unite with people for what reason? Just to unite, hug, be sweet, you know? No. What is the truth? Okay, listen, this may be over extreme, but it's in California, a 501c3, that is a nonprofit organization called a church. It's called a church. It's a church. The guy's ordained. They have all the thing. They can marry and bury, and they can do all the stuff they do. The Church of Satan in San Francisco. They read the Tibetan Book of the Dead. They read Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. Do you want to unite with them? Well, if we all hug one another, maybe we'll all get along. That's impossible. Truth is the priority. Never sacrifice truth on the altar of unity.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 49 and 50, part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're still offering Pastor Jack's DVD series called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. It's also taken from an earlier portion of Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and a valuable tool for sharing our faith, as well as for our own personal review. Here's our offer. We'll send it out to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.